Welcome to Chapter 39, Bob Bale. This is the one chapter that best exemplifies the title of this story, No Place for Common Sense. When I decided to do this and I was going over the list of potential chapters, this person, Bob Bale, and his story just jumped out of me. I've been looking forward to sharing this story with you, the listener, because this is a story that I know I've said it before, but this one. Anyway, I'm at Sun Oil a long time ago, and that's where I met Bob Bale. He was the credit manager. He was about 35 years old. Had a very good job. Credit manager at corporate. Sun Oil was a very good job. Anyway, we got to know each other a little bit, not a lot, but he decided that he was going to take a leave of absence, which was unheard of at Sun Oil. He ventured into buying a bar called the Rathskeller, or the Rat for short, on the campus of Westchester University in Westchester, PA. So Sun Oil, because of how they valued his contribution, his skill, they granted him a 6-month leave of absence. And at the time, it's like, wow, that's something. To give him a chance if he, if it didn't work out, he had his old job back. They didn't fill the job or anything. He was very good at his job. So anyway, he takes off. I don't hear of him, see of him. One day, he comes into the office, and I see him, and I said, I figured he's back, on the job. I said, well, welcome back. He said, well, I'm only here to sign the final papers, the separation papers, he said, because I'm going to stick with the bar. He said, there's so much money and so many women, I can't possibly justify coming back. Now, let me describe him for a minute. He was a redheaded Irishman with an afro. I mean, he was not like anybody else I've ever known. So I said, really? I said, yeah. He said, Jimmy, it's amazing. The money, the cash, the students, they could walk to this bar. It was just, so anyway, he leaves. Then I eventually leave Sun Oil. And then 5-6 years later, maybe, I run into him at a place in Concordville called Mr. T's, which was a bar. And we struck up, we actually started a relationship then. And we both talked about our Sun Oil days, and I listened to his story. And we also had something in common in that we both were hooked on gambling. His method of gambling involved roulette, my disease was the dice table. And he had a limousine at the time. And I remember him telling me that he always went there with $10,000 in cash. The other thing we both agreed on, that we didn't believe in markers, it was cash. We weren't going to lose anything we didn't have on us. So anyway, one night I see him in there, and he says, I sit down with him. He said, you wouldn't believe what happened to me last night. I said, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even guess. He said, I called my driver. He said, I couldn't sleep, and I wanted to go play. I called my driver, and he was sick. My car was in the shop, and the limo was at my house. So I decided to drive the limo down. So I said, I'm playing now. The boy could drink. He could drink and he could hold it, but he could drink. So he said, I'm playing and drinking, and all of a sudden I realize that I'm driving tonight. So he said, I leave the casino, I get the limo, and I start back home. I go through the $2 toll, and I'm cruising along, And he said, next thing I know, I see a red light behind me. State cop. So I thought to myself, he says, you know, my whole life flashed before me. I thought, this is not going to be a good ending to this. And what I'm about to share with you, you talk about thinking on the at the moment. Well, here we are. He pulls over. He puts the window, the divider down. He puts the passenger side window down. And he crawls into the back of the limo. Takes his jacket off, gets disheveled, muscles his hair, unbuttons his shirt, and lays down. All this, he said, you know what they talked when they tell you when you're drunk and somebody pulls a gun on you, you sober up. He said, when I saw that red light, I sobered up. He's in the back. The cop, the state cop, is banging on the window, he said. So then the cop banged on it, and it's all smoked glass, so you can't see. So he banged on the back window. So Bob puts the window down and says, What can I do? What's wrong? He said, do you know you've been weaving? You know, have you been drinking? He said, no, I've been sleeping. This is my limousine. Talk to my driver. He said, there is no driver in there. It's empty. He said, oh my God, maybe he didn't have a green card. He must have got out through the window and ran through the woods. I said, what in the world? And guess what? He got driven home by the state police. Who in the world had the ability to think that fast? Another Bob Bale story. He and his wife, not exactly soulmates. They had issues. So he told me one day, when we were at the bar, he said, you know, on Monday, my wife and I are going to go on a cruise. We're going to like reignite our marriage and, you know, try to get back on track and, you know, start over. I said, that's great. I had two boys. I said, that's great. So, Wednesday or Thursday of that week, we go in and he's sitting at the bar. And I said to myself, I said, Bob, I thought you'd be on a cruise. He said, I was on a cruise. I said, you weren't a cruise? From Monday and you're back here on Thursday? Yeah. So I can't do it. I couldn't do it. That's what he mean, couldn't do it. He said, I was claustrophobic. My wife and I, it wasn't working. I had to get off the ship. I said, I don't understand. How do you get off a ship? He said, well, I'll tell you, it was a challenge. He said, because I went to the captain. I said, just let me off at the next port. The captain said, I've been manifest. I can't just drop people. It's not. The captain said, he told him, this isn't a taxi cab. It's a boat. So he says, well, how about if I, who owns the boat? I'll buy the boat. the guy said, we can't do this. Then he said, you know, I had an idea. He said, well, suppose I had a medical emergency. He said, well, you know, the Coast Guard would send a helicopter. He said, well, no, I don't have a medical emergency. But he said, I want you to give me the Coast Guard's number. So he got the number. He called the Coast Guard, shipped ashore, whatever, I don't know. And he said, listen, how much is it going to cost me for you to pick me up and get me off this boat and put me on a place with an airport? And the guy says, $10,000. Fine. They picked him up. The Coast Guard picked him up. He paid $10,000. They dropped him off at the nearest island, whatever it was, that had airfield. He said, I gave the pilot $1,000. He said, but I ain't never doing that again. I mean, it's a fun, this guy, he was one of a kind. Unfortunately, one night I go in and I see him and he's crying. And I said, Bob, what in the world is going on? He said, he had two boys, 16 and 17. And he says, Jimmy, he said, my youngest boy was killed in an automobile accident. My oldest boy was driving. I said, oh my God. He said, yeah. He said, you know what? I find out from my oldest boy, his brother, a week before this happened, he said, listen, if anything ever happens to me, I want my ashes dumped over the Rockies because I always wanted to be a forest ranger. He said, we just got back from dumping his ashes over the Rockies. I mean, he said, how strange is that? He was never the same. And I understand, you know, but I wanted to do this chapter for him because he passed away not that long after all that. But that limo story and wanting to buy a ship, I mean, he was the guy that had a lot of money, was very successful, and was cool. He was generous. He wasn't an idiot. Wasn't condescending. He was just a fun guy. He didn't change at all. And that is a rare quality in people, certainly these days. Anyway, I just wanted to share that story with you because I look forward to telling that. It was fun. No doubt about it. Thank you. Bye. Next up, time for the third town.